This is the State of Things. We're broadcasting from the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh, and we're streaming live on stateofthings.org. Well, I know it's a little early in the day, but let's start talking about beer, shall we? At the end of the 1970s, there were only about 40 breweries in the whole country. Big beer companies kept getting bigger, and really industry professionals predicted the country would soon have fewer than 10. Aha. Today in North Carolina, among other states, craft beer industry has found new life with far-reaching effects on the local economy, community, and agriculture, and it inspires a lot of creativity. So much so that the NC State professor, at least one of them, has found a way to brew beer from yeast that grows on wasps. We'll hear more about that in a second. The World Beer Festival, Saturday, April 5th in Raleigh. Daniel Bradford's here, publisher of All About Beer magazine and a producer of the World Beer Festival. Daniel, good to have you here. Welcome.
Great to see you again.
Also, John Shepherd is here. He is a professor of food, bioprocessing, and nutrition sciences at NC State and the brewer of Wasp Beer. John, good to have you here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Camden Watts is here again. She's a filmmaker currently working on Brewconomy, a film about North Carolina's beer industry. Welcome back, Camden.
Thanks for having me.
Daniel, take us through the history of craft beer. There was a time when it looked like curtains for good beer.
Well, there were maybe 700 breweries that survived Prohibition. And they were largely regionals with a few nationals. And the nationals developed phenomenal economies of scales, which they translated into amazing marketing campaigns. And the regionals didn't have much of a competitive edge. So they were slowly going out of business. Until 1981, there were 41 breweries. However, several of those were less than 10 years old. And that's kind of the turning point. That's when the craft breweries started opening. Camden, how many do we have in North Carolina?
The last I checked was 84, but I know there are a lot since then, so it's close to 90 or 100.
And that's the Renaissance,
yeah.
Right there.
Well, and it is. I mean, I can remember sort of coming of age in the 1960s in a place like Buffalo, New York, which was the second largest beer-consuming city in the country at the time, per capita.
Because it was cold.
There was nothing else to do. There was nothing else to do, and people loved their beers to work in town. But there were lots and lots and lots of local beers.
I mean, yes.
And they sort of fell off the map like within a decade. There was nothing but Bud Light in the world, and it was a scary thing. So how did it come back? What happened?
Well, like a lot of consumer perishables, bread, cookies, coffee, this whole generation was looking for flavor. They traveled Europe. They traveled the Far East. They were just looking for flavor. And romance and adventure, history. I mean, you go to England, you have a pub experience with authentic cask ale from a brewery that's 140 years old. I mean, that's just, that's as good as life gets for me. And coming back to the United States, most of these breweries were founded by people who came back to the United States, started home brewing so they could have their beer the way they liked them. And somebody said the magic phrase, you know, you ought to try selling that. And that is the birth of the American craft beer movement, founded on home brewers, amateur brewers, who launched these fabulous careers.
It works for beer in a way that it doesn't work for books. Because when somebody says you should write a book, really don't. Just please don't. And please, if you do, don't come to me. Because I know I've read that book. But it does work for beer. And Brewconomy, Camden, is your film. And it takes a look at beer in this state. This is an industry, craft brew industry, that really grew very, very fast from zero to this more than 60, right?
It is. So it we've been researching the history of what's helped it take off. Because I'm a native North Carolinian, and it's changed so much in my time growing up here, specifically in the past couple of years. And the Pop the Cap movement is pretty critical in that it raised the Daniel can actually speak to it better than I can.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fabulous grassroots movement, which just pointed to how
and
great.
What did you do? It meant that high-gravity beer, meaning beer that tastes good, could be sold in North Carolina because for years and years and years it was near beer. And you and Sean Wilson, I know, from Full Steam
and
others.
And Julie Johnson.
All those folks were involved in getting the legislature to lift that lid.
Yes.
And that's when everything changed.
Yeah.
And about when was that? That was not long ago.
I think it was 2005? Between 03 and 05 for sure. I've looked up a lot of different dates, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when we're talking about local beer and local food, there's a connection there, and I
yes.
think that's the connection you make in your film, right?
Yes, it is, and a connection to sustainability as well. So the flavor and where the ingredients come from and how sustainable everything is, you get that full package when you go to a place like Bull City. They get their tomatoes from a local farmer, and all of the beef is local. I just love this stuff. So you can trace all of the ingredients back, you know that it's a sustainable process, and you can tell in the difference between the flavor. Everything is so much better.
And it all comes together, and I think we think about beer in terms of the pub experience, but and I think we've got a clip here from Sean Wilson at Full Steam in Durham who reminds us that this is actually an agricultural product.
A lot of people, as they look around here at the brewery, they know that it makes beer, but they really see steel tanks and they don't really know what beer is made from. So what we're trying to do is fuse the concept and the love for all things that grow local here in North Carolina in the food farm to table movement and apply it to beer making, because beer is agriculture.
That was Sean L. Wilson. He's the founder and CEO of Full Steam Brewery in Durham. And John, we talk about beer as agriculture. This is something you know a lot about at NC State. Beer is also science, right? I mean, and the science of brewing is something that you pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of research done over especially the last 100 years, into the chemistry and microbiology of making good beer. Because I think if you look at the 19th century, back before they realized that yeast were responsible for fermentation, there was a lot of quality issues. And until the yeast management strategies were put in place in the last century, and the large breweries really took care in sanitation and preventing contamination of the product, there wasn't that kind of consistent quality that we have today.
The bane of a good beer is a wild yeast spore, I'm told.
That sounds scary, right?
The invasion of the wild yeast spore.
Strike terror into a brewer's heart. It should. Yeah. But tell me about this, because then you actually brewed a beer from wasp yeast. Now we have to have the story.
Okay, the story is that Jonathan Frederick, who's involved in the North Carolina science fair, came to me and he wanted to connect me with Rob Dunn, who's in the Biological Sciences Department at NC State. Rob has been looking at the interaction between microorganisms and higher animals for quite a while, and he mentioned that Rob was isolating some different yeast species from insects, and he wondered whether it might be possible to make some beer with these yeast. And I was kind of skeptical, honestly, because Saccharomyces cerevisiae and Pasteurianus have been around a long time.
Those are the names of some yeasts?
Yeah, those are the yeasts that normally brewers would use.
All right.
And that gives pretty good quality to the beer. So I was skeptical, but I said, sure, why not? Let's try it. And so I was able to get a culture of this yeast species that was actually isolated from a wasp. And we tried brewing with it, and surprisingly enough, we were able to make some beer. And you have some of the product in front of you there. So
I have two bottles of wasp beer here, which, owing to FCC regulations, we will not sample. But I'm sure it's very good. Anyway, the bottles are great. So maybe
I've had a show. It's good. It's really good.
Well, what's the impact of yeast? Because I guess I thought just intuitively that you need yeast but it's a catalyst in the product. And then everything that's the hops and the barley and all mm-hmm. the good water. But yeast actually changes the character and texture of the beer? Flavor?
Yeah. So flavor and aroma, especially aroma, are very much affected by the particular yeast that is being used for the particular style of beer. And many breweries will jealously guard their specific strain of yeast because of the flavor and aroma characteristics that it gives to its product. And this is especially true in beers that undergo long maturation, like the lager beers, where the yeast stay fermenting in the beer and active in the beer for many weeks and sometimes even months, smoothing out the flavors and providing a very complex aroma and flavor experience.
So, Daniel, this suggests we know that beer is an ancient art form. We found it. We know that the ancient Egyptians were pretty sure they were brewing beer. So Does this mean that the science of beer, one way or another, has been – have people been cultivating their yeasts and cultivating their
– Not intentionally.
No.
Not intentionally. I believe in Germany, yeast was called God is good.
Wow.
Because they thought this was just something divine, because you'd make this mash and sit it there, and next thing you know, it's fermenting. And it's like, well, wow.
So wild yeast spores. They just were counting on wild yeast spores.
But also the vessels that they use, because the vessels had cracks and the yeast would get in there and stay there. So when you put another batch in a way you're developing your own house yeast, because they didn't sanitize.
So bad hygiene is the key to good beer. Is that what you're saying, Daniel?
In ancient Egypt.
Okay, and we're not drinking that stuff anymore. So that's part of it. And then when did we start thinking scientifically about brewing beer?
Industrialization.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I mean, one of the first things that happened was getting rid of direct firing on the grains. Because as you can see in front of you, you have a pale grain and you have a dark grain. Okay, well, that dark grain, black, that's been really burnt. And this pale one has just been slightly. Well, when they learned how to manage that, I believe that was the first control point that they got. Now they could actually control what a beer looked like. And then Louis Pasteur steps in and says, well, now we can talk to you about how it tastes. So it was industrialization made better. It was better able to control all of the elements.
Didn't know Pasteur was a beer drinker, but anyway.
Yeast guy.
He's the yeast guy.
What was the name of that yeast?
Saccharomyces cerevisiae.
The other one.
Pasteurianus.
Oh, that's his yeast?
Well, no, actually not, but it was named after him.
All right. Yeah. Well, so, Camden, now, a big part of this now, once we've gotten through the science and we've come back to craft beers, is its impact on local economies. You have a clip from your film with a farmer, Daniel Gridley, who is the owner of Farm Boy Brewery in Pittsburgh. And I should point out to my production staff that we can't hear this, so I will need a cue. You'll actually have to tell me when this is over so that I'll know, because otherwise, sadly, we can't hear in the studio. But here he is, Daniel Gridley.
I am a farmer. I grow 5 varieties of hops, Cascade, Centennial, Chinook, Nugget, and Willamette, and also 2-row barley. And that's out in Pittsburgh, Chatham County, North Carolina. And about 3 years ago, the craft beer industry started to boom in North Carolina. So we decided to put some of our land to use. And we started the hop yard and started growing grain.
There is Daniel Gridley. He's the owner of Farm Boy Brewery in Pittsburgh. Tell us more about him, Camden.
Well, they actually grow their own hops, and they're also a brewery. So they sell their hops to places like the homebrew supply store that's connected to Raleigh Brewing. And what the brewers love to do is use local ingredients. So having hops that are grown in North Carolina gives your beer a very, you know, local flavor to it. So what I'm really excited about what he's doing and a lot of what the other guys are doing for local hops and malt. It's really cool.
And it gives it a local flavor. And, of course, we're sort of focused on that for a lot of good reasons. Not only does it taste like North Carolina, but it also starts to build local economies, right?
It does. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Full Steam is using like persimmons. They'll have people go out and gather persimmons, and then they'll make a persimmon beer. So it has this what they call a distinctly southern beer, because you can't get that anywhere else. You can only get that here, and it makes it really distinct, and it is so good.
But think about this now. I've got some hops here, Daniel. Tell me about these hops.
Just rub it in your fingers.
Okay, so get it.
Okay, this is the magic of...
Wow, yeah. This is like an IPA in the nose.
If the grain is bread, hops are the spices.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, maybe 400 varieties of hops, and each of them has a distinctly different flavor.
Yeah.
That's Cascade, which you'll find in a lot of West Coast pale ales. And were you to have a beer with that in it, you'd get a lot of grapefruit finish, which is really kind of fun.
But the point is, if I have all of these breweries here who are demanding local products, sweet potato beer, smoked bacon beer, whatever you're going to put in it, but local hops and local barley, those things that are the base products, that means more farmland is going into production. That means more farmers are making it here. That means more money is circulating. Somebody's going to process that. They're going to process it, then they're going to turn it into beer, then there's going to be a pub, and they're probably going to be selling local pork to go along with their local beer. All of that money circulates within your state and is antidote to what those big industrial producers were doing, not only to our taste buds, but to our economy. Is that fair to say? I could turn that into a question. Don't you agree?
There you go. It is very good for the
economy. That's a big part of what I think Brewconomy is talking about. Right?
It is. So the North Carolina craft beer economy or craft beer industry contributes $790 million to our economy. Our state just did a great article on the economic impact of craft beer in North Carolina because this is North Carolina Craft Beer Month. And I'll give a plug for the festival this Saturday. It's phenomenal. If you want to taste lots of beers, especially North Carolina beers, go to this festival. But it does contribute a lot to the economy. And it's not just the beer you buy. It's the people serving the beer, the people making the beer, all of the manufacturing equipment that goes into making a beer. It is a broad industry, and it's doing a lot of good for our economy.
Well, and growing and processing, you know, and all of those things are good. And so, John, what does it mean, that we're studying this kind of thing at NC State? Does it mean, for instance, that an institution like NC State, which has been associated with industrial agriculture for a long time, is there a movement? Do we see at this big institution a move toward more sustainable kinds of agriculture?
Yeah, I can't really speak too much about the production side of agriculture. I'm in the processing side of it. I can say, though, that there's a lot of extension work done at NC State with small producers, and I'm trying to open doors with the craft brewers for sure, because I have some facilities there that most of them wouldn't have, for example, for doing taste analysis and quality control of their product. I can help them out in that regard. And so we are reaching out, to the small businesses to try and help them along.
What are some of the other developments that you're working on that we might be surprised about or that are useful to small brewers?
Well, my main expertise is in yeast management. So I think a lot of the brewers don't necessarily come from a biology background, and so they may not appreciate the proper ways of handling microorganisms to maintain pure cultures and to prevent contamination and proper sanitation, that kind of thing, which helps them, I think, in their consistency and quality. And that will allow, consumers and customers to come back to their product time after again and hopefully grow their business.
Did you ever put yeast manager on your tax form? Occupation. That'd just be so cool. Daniel, tell us about the beer festival real quick.
This is for us, it's an educational experience. We'll have a couple hundred beers gathered together in a program like this, which has all of them in it. And the goal is to learn about beer variety. I was talking with a reporter who told me right up front that she didn't like beer, she likes cider. So I had brought a raspberry beer and popped it in a glass, and she tasted it, and she went through the roof. This is fabulous. And that's the point of the World Beer Festival. There's so much diversity. We're talking about a persimmon beer. There's so much diversity in our breweries that people can come and sample and learn. We'll have an Art of Beer Village that includes Farm Boy. They're doing an exhibit there. I think your beer is going to be there.
Wasp beer.
Beer.
That's very cool. Well, first of all, I will say that a reporter who doesn't drink beer has no credibility with me, so I would not believe a single thing they have written. That's the first thing I'll say. Daniel, thank you. So thank all of you. Daniel Bradford is publisher of All About Beer magazine and the producer of the World Beer Festival this Saturday, April 5th. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Pleasure. Thank you.
John Shepherd is a professor of food, bioprocessing, and nutrition sciences at North Carolina State. He's also the brewer of Wasp Beer. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
and Camden Watts, a filmmaker currently working on Brewconomy, a film about North Carolina's beer industry. Thanks a lot, Camden.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk science, creativity, and comedy on The State of Things. Stay tuned.